The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Taking your relationship to the next level. This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Welcome to Passion, a show about love, sex, and relationships. Well, tonight, not so much about sex, unless Linda wants to talk about sex.
Might be something fun. Who doesn't want to talk about sex?
Well, tonight
the bees do it.
Right. The ugly side of passion, really.
But
is
you were going to say sex.
The ugly side of passion. Linda Hammerschmidt is a family law attorney, and she's here to answer your questions. So we've got 1 hour of free legal advice for you. So again, I'm going to repeat this. She's been on for quite a few times, number of years. Years.
Couple of times.
I didn't say couple of times. I said for quite some time. And so you kind of know the drill if you've been a regular listener. We take questions about separation, divorce, custody, living together, marriage contracts.
Whatever else you can think.
But we don't do wills.
Well, that's not true.
Unless it's part of the relationship thing. Like
I was in court all day today about a will and trust issue.
Okay, but this is a show about relationships. So I'm going to...
As are wills and trusts.
I'm going to limit it to marital or those kinds of relationships. Sorry, it's my show, Linda. You're just going to have to pay attention to that.
Oh, really? Good luck with
yes.
that. Good luck
yeah,
with
I
that.
Know.
Yeah, never worked for anybody else.
You might have to break up a couple of fights over here. But I tell you, arguing with a lawyer, it's a whole new experience.
Yeah, that's why we keep Luciano around. So he comes in
to
every 15 minutes.
To mediate for us. Yeah. Yes, exactly. 514-790-0800 if you want to talk to Linda Hammerschmidt. You can do that. You can also text in your situation, your question, or whatever it is, 514-800, and we will be happy to do that. Now, I did get a couple of emails for you in preparation, so they were very clear about saying it's a question for our legal night. Well, tonight is our legal night.
That's it.
So my divorce will be final when the judge signs the papers in the summer. I live in Quebec. The divorce is based on a one-year separation. Yesterday, I noticed my husband when we were, I would call him her ex-husband at this point. No,
ex-husband-to-be.
Ex-husband-to-be, right. So yesterday I noticed my husband when we were both stopped in our vehicles at a red light. Do I have the right to know who the woman with my husband is? I mean, what role does she play in his life?
Okay, and who sent that lovely text question?
Well, we don't like to give names. I'd rather not give a name only because it identifies people and they may not want other people
anyway.
To know.
Okay, so...
So Lady C.
Miss Driver Stoplight. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there's two answers to that question. If there are children involved and this person is now living with your soon-to-be ex-husband or spends an inordinate amount of time with him who has access with the children, then yes, you have a right to know who it is.
You have a legal right? Like, can you legally force a person to tell you exactly what you're doing?
What you're doing, no.
Or, I mean, if the person is just a boyfriend
travel.
Or a girlfriend or
yeah,
whatever.
No, you can't, you're no longer married. You don't want to be married, presumably, if you're getting divorced.
Right.
And just like he doesn't need to know what you're doing either. But if the person ends up living with him and interacts with, if you have children, then yeah, you have a right to know at least who that person is.
And how do you force the other person to tell you that information?
First of all, force.
Force. I mean, again, it's a you're
so
saying
happy,
right.
So happy, dear, that you found a new relationship. Is she dealing with it? Have you introduced her to the children? Who is she?
Well, what if
Because I don't want to ask the children.
Okay, fine. So what if the person responds, none of your business what I do?
Really? When we have kids. Now, if there's no kids involved,
that's
it really is no
right.
business.
But no, let's say there's kids. Because this is the second situation in 2 days that I've had exactly like this, where somebody is kind of, one parent is completely out of the loop, like thinks there's a boyfriend involved and isn't sure that the ex-wife has a boyfriend, but has no idea and doesn't want to probe the kids either because doesn't want to put him in that
now,
in a
that's
position.
So rare.
So I know, but he's an upstanding guy. And so what, what are his, what can he do? She won't tell him. Like he thinks that if he goes ahead and asks, she probably will say it's none of your business.
Okay. Well, in the question that we got, the divorce paper's not signed yet. So
right.
If there are children involved, I would have your lawyer write his lawyer to find out if this person is, in fact, a permanent fixture in the life of her children, their right. children, and who is the person? You know, and you don't want to find out that the person's an escapee from an insane asylum. You know, to be euphemistic, well, but
are you going to keep tabs on every single person your ex-husband starts to date? To find out...
A serial dater?
Well, I don't know. That's... Maybe he is. Maybe this person is not somebody
you have to
that
use,
he's
you have
serious
to use
with.
Some modicum of common sense. Every time, if he's going on a speed dating exercise, no, you're not going to be in the parking lot running after everybody who may not be dating. Well, but if it impacts seriously with the children, then you have a right to know. Like, you have a right to know when somebody takes your children on vacation or when you go on vacation.
Who and where.
And where you're going and how long you're going, what's a contact and et cetera number and dress.
And I'm totally in agreement with that. I mean, yes, you should have a right to know who's going to be with your children. But in a situation where
At the stoplight?
Right. She sees a woman, a strange woman, in her ex-husband's car.
No. Because
what rights
he could
does
be
she
giving
have?
Some coworker a right. lift to the bus stop. Who knows?
It could be anything. Mm-hmm. So, like, mm-hmm. she doesn't have a right to necessarily start probing and finding out. But if there are maybe more clues as to the fact that there's a regular person
serious,
there,
then you can
then
ask
she has
the
a
question.
Right. Exactly.
Not because you're jealous, though. It has to have to deal with the welfare of your
of
own
the
children.
Children. Right. If you're doing it because you're jealous, then that's a...
Yeah, big problem.
Well, right. All right. Let's go to Stamata online. Hi, Stamata. How
Hi.
Are you?
Hi.
Good.
Hi.
Good. What's your question?
If a couple is divorced, and you know the part where you sign papers not to receive each other's pension?
You renounce to the Régime Durant de Québec, is you're talking about, or somebody's actual private pension plan?
I mean the Régime de Québec.
Yeah.
Now, if let's say you haven't signed any papers, do you still get the pension or?
Unless the parties have actually renounced in a consent agreement and the wording has to be very specific because certain wording, I'm not going to have the Régime Durant de Québec, won't fly. The judge won't grant that. It has to be properly worded with some article numbers from the Régime Durant de Québec legislation put in there. And now it became law, at least last year, if not before, that the parties, before they can renounce, must be aware of the value to which they're renouncing, which means that anytime anybody is getting a divorce or a separation, you should be writing away or have your attorney write away for a simulation of partition based on the date of institution of proceedings or the date that a consent was filed. And they will send you back a month or 6 weeks later a table that shows what you would get each party based on the contributions you've been making over the years, and then what a number will change. Usually one person's allotment in part goes over to the other person's allotment in part after the petition. So,
does that
but,
make sense?
But, and, you know, it can be a big number and you can still renounce to it, but you have to know the number.
So it has to state clearly, I'm renouncing... We both agreed to renounce to this, and this is the number.
Well, you don't even have to put the number, but you have to say that you're aware
of the
values.
Okay.
And if incompetent, you would maybe put the number. Attaches, I would do an annex, as an annex, a sheet from the the government that shows that they knew it.
Stamata, does that answer your question?
Because I don't understand all the legal words.
So do you want to renounce or you do not want to renounce?
No. I'm not talking about myself, though, but... Let's say nothing has been signed that, to use myself as an example, let's say I haven't signed anything that I do not collect his pension.
You have not signed it, so then you
would collect
you would
it.
Get
yeah, it's
it.
Going to be so partitioned automatically.
Yes. And him the same thing.
Yes,
exactly.
It's part of the partition.
Okay, great.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your call.
Okay, so
take care. Bye-bye.
Don't spend the money all in the same place.
More of your questions coming up here on our Legal Hour with Maître Linda Hammerschmidt to answer all of your questions about divorce, separation, and all that jazz. 514-800, not necessarily wills. 514-790-0800, 514-800 to text in. So if you've got questions, we've got a few questions coming up here. We'll get you those answers coming up here on Passion.
She can help improve your love life in a few different ways. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, Maître Linda Hammerschmidt, she joins us for our legal hour here where we talk about divorce and common law, though that doesn't exist in Quebec, about custody, anything really, anything to do with that side of non-relating. So here, this texter wants to know, and this is a really good question. How would you bring up the idea of a prenup to someone you're pre-engaged to without damaging the relationship with feelings of mistrust, thinking that things will fail? And that's where a lot of people have, you know, because you're a big, huge advocate for prenups and contracts and things to be signed.
Communicating.
And clarity. And it really is all about clarity.
It's like a clarity act.
It's like the clarity
only
act.
Only better
yes.
than the government.
So, but a lot of people take it extremely,
yes.
like,
well,
personally.
The fact is that if they do that, it's a big sign right away. Cancel the caterer. And the church
if
or
they
the synagogue.
Say no. If they say no, you know.
No, because if you can't even talk about that without worrying if you're going to hurt somebody's
right.
feelings, whatever, this is the wrong person to be with. Because you have to be able to talk about these things
right.
if you'd like to stay married. Because if you don't want to stay married, all the more reason to get a contract because you're preparing to get divorced.
Well, also, finances and sexuality are the two most taboo topics.
So you should always talk about money in the nude.
And then money in the nude. There you go. Sex and money in the same conversation. That should be a heavy duty one.
And religion. Throw that in, too.
Yeah.
No, but you definitely have to bring it up. And I would have thought that before you got to the part, or I would like to think that people could get to the part before you say, would you marry me? That you've had those conversations
yeah.
even before, because you can't, you shouldn't. Maybe I'm somehow naive in the world, but I doubt it. You shouldn't be able to say yes if you don't even know those questions and the answers to them beforehand, because that's part of knowing who you're getting in bed with, literally.
Right. The financial stuff. Exactly. Like, and also questions about people go into marriage with all kinds of debt. That doesn't get discussed. And then the person, you know, what do you mean?
And
you had a $30,000 student loan that I didn't know about, you know, because
yeah.
suddenly you're now taking on your partner's debt.
Well, pretty much.
Right.
And if they got into that kind of debt, it's possibly that's a way of life for them.
So maybe at this point.
And if you didn't get a marriage contract, you're now in partnership of a quest, which means that all the debt that keeps
your,
coming is half
right.
yours too.
That's right.
And. So, well, I'm sorry, but
no,
this is
ahead.
A topic dear
I
to
know,
my heart.
I know,
you know
it is.
Like,
I know.
And
it's her soapbox, everybody.
one of the many that, you know, you talk about, they talk about all these things and yet, you know, sign here, dear, you know, at the notary's office. Well, you don't need to read anything or whatever.
Right.
And any notary that lets you sign something without really reading it, quite frankly,
right.
nowadays it should be videotaped so that they can prove
that's
that they read it.
That's a good idea.
Not to mention wills
yeah.
should also be videotaped when you're doing something to show that you're of sound mind and avoid a lot of legal battles down the road for people saying they didn't know what they were doing, somebody took advantage of
mm-hmm.
them.
Especially with the technology we have today anyway.
That's right.
Right.
Should all be videotaped.
So another way you can bring it up is you can say, you know, I've been listening to Maître Linda Hammerschmidt on the radio and she's
boy,
a big
she's
advocate.
Scary.
Yeah, she's
and you don't want me to have to get her because you didn't do this.
No, but you can bring it up as a topic of
fun
and she really believes how important it is that we should have this conversation. And you know what? I think she's right. I think all couples should. So why
do
don't
it,
we?
Do it when you open a bottle of wine.
Yeah. Well, that,
or whatever.
Relax a little
Schnapps.
Bit. Right.
In the bathtub.
But it is a conversation to be had. So don't shy
but
away
from
just
not just, that's the thing, not just once. It's an ongoing topic of conversation that should be looked at, if not monthly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, annually to see where you are at, what goal you set, sort of like a 5-year Russian plan, and see if you're meeting your targets and what needs to be adjusted and how are you saving for the future. And well, will we cover our medical
That's
bills
like,
now that in a few years from now with the baby boomer generation being crotchety, that the healthcare system's going to completely disintegrate like the Ville Marie Expressway.
Oh my God, listening to you is so depressing sometimes.
It's
I
reality,
have to say.
That's why. But people don't like to deal with reality because, one, they're never going to have anything, so they don't need a marriage contract, and they don't need to buy a cemetery plot because they're never going to die, and they don't need to have a will because there's nothing to leave.
You heard it here, folks. You just, you know, you got to
have
play
you written
it safe.
Your funeral notice?
I am not talking about that with
See?
You. Do not
we can't
put
get
me,
married.
Do not put me on the stand, okay? So I do think it's an important conversation to have just from a relationship perspective. I think it's important to reassure your partner that this is not about
Make it think you're protecting them.
That's right.
From yourself.
That's yes, that you want to make sure they are protected
as
and that
well.
Your future children are protected. That you never know because they're siblings, parents, whatever. If something happens, you want to make sure everybody's protected.
And that
so
woman
that's a very good approach,
in the car,
actually.
The stoplight.
What about her?
She could be a problem.
Oh, yes, and any future, well, that's true, too. But I'm not sure I'd bring that up. So here, question on child support. If my ex gets married again, do I still pay child support or here in Quebec live common law? I'm not sure what the
okay,
two have
well,
to
first
do.
Of all, getting remarried has nothing to do with your obligation to your children, and yes, you still have to pay child support.
Okay, so it has nothing to do, even if, no matter how much the guy, the new guy makes or new woman makes or anything.
That would be correct.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with the obligation that you have financially towards your own children. It's not
right.
This guy's
some
problem.
Other person's problem. Right.
Not that they may not benefit from the fact that they might be in one heck of a wonderful house at the top of Summit Hill or whatever, mm-hmm. but, and go on fancy vacations and ride in a Gulfstream, but you'll still have to pay your share according to what you
to
have.
What you owe. Right. To what you have. Not what
not,
not
you're not
going to
be having to pay
has.
For a lifestyle based on the other guy's revenue stream, but what you should be paying vis-a-vis and the ex and
right.
you and
even,
your money.
And even if it feels to some people, I know people, men have complained about this, even if it feels unfair that you're suffering financially when your partner, ex-partner now is
enjoying
living a better
life.
Life, and yet you still have to pay. So, but that's the law. That's just the way it goes.
Well, first of all, that's the obligation you signed on for when you got in bed and made them in the first place.
Yes, of course, we don't think that far ahead.
But,
I know. Shush. Get off that soapbox for now. didn't mean to shush you there, but
yeah,
you know
you
what
did.
I mean. Yeah, I know. All right. Hello. I'm married, and about 3 years ago, my husband inherited his mother's duplex. We took on a mortgage together to remodel the main level. If I were to divorce him, what rights do I have to this duplex? I'm officially a 1% owner, but I'm 50% responsible on the mortgage.
Well, you can see how that was not an astute financial decision.
Okay, explain.
In the first place. But I missed the first part, sorry.
So they're married.
Yeah.
3 years ago, husband inherited duplex.
Inherited, okay.
Right.
And
now
and so
they
they're
took
using
out a mortgage.
Basically, are
no,
they living there?
They remodeled the main level.
Yeah, but
that
they
could
have remodeled
say.
To rent it as an investment property. So, and is there a marriage contract? So could you type quickly back that?
So we'll what get, do you want to know?
I want to know if they have a marriage contract, if they're living in that property, is it an investment property?
Okay. And that will all determine.
Well, it will help me answer that question.
Okay. But from what, just from the information you have, in case they don't write okay. back, what would you, what could you surmise?
She may have
from this?
Signed the mortgage. Does she actually pay the mortgage?
Well, okay, that's another question.
Yeah,
right?
Because
you
just because
the
you're
mortgage?
The person that's co-signer, so the bank can go after you, God forbid, if the other person stops paying, doesn't mean that you're actually contributing anything. You're just sort of waiting in the wings.
So your name might be on it, but you may not actually be
well,
contributing.
You may never be called upon to pay. You're basically a co-responsible person for 50%, but maybe the other person is doing all the money.
All the payments.
All the payments. And
true.
He may have inherited the money, but inherited the property. But and again, it's going to depend on the marriage contract also, because if it's a rental property and it's accumulating a value that is inside of the partnership of a quest, even though it was an inheritance, there's going to have to be something done. Now, on the other hand, if they took out money from their savings to, I don't know, make these renovations or just the mortgage, she added, and if she is contributing to the payment somehow, or you can make this link that, well, I'm paying for this so he can pay for the mortgage. So
actually, she wrote back, living in the house. Living in the house, and they married under the basic contract. So I guess partnership of a quest contract. Is that the basic contract?
Well, it's not really a contract.
Well,
it's a matrimonial
the,
regime.
It's a
contract implies
okay.
signing documents.
Right.
Okay,
the
but they're living in
stuff,
the house.
And they both pay the mortgage.
Okay, so they're living in the house. So it's basically the common domicile.
Yes.
Okay. So there and they got a mortgage. So there's the amount of money that he will get back first, because there's a value that came with at the time of the inheritance. And there may
so that will stay his always because it was an
most
inheritance.
Likely,
okay.
Most likely. There's all you never know who you're going to end up in front of in a judge. So that's the problem.
So you
people
could actually
don't understand.
Fight for more.
It's never like it is on TV.
Right. Okay?
It
right.
just really you never know when you go into that building on Saint Antoine and Saint Laurent. It's a crapshoot.
Okay. And that's pretty scary.
It is. And that's why people should really plan down what they're doing so they can avoid that building.
Right.
I like to avoid that building. Why wouldn't you like to avoid
right.
that building?
Right.
So anyway, yes, you should get something either as what we call a unjustified enrichment. And but I don't understand the 1%. How did you get to be 1% owner?
Well, maybe they've put her on there as a 1% owner. No,
yeah,
is that not
who
possible?
Gets one? I've never heard of a 1% owner.
I don't know, but whatever it is.
But if you're still happy, because I haven't ascertained if they're still a happy people.
Let's just assume they're
house,
happy.
Let's assume they're happy. Well,
yes.
Then get them back to the notary and get the rest of your other 49%.
Oh, all right. That's true.
Yeah,
you can go to the notary.
He's
and,
not
and
dead. And you're still
that.
Happy. It can still work.
That's right. All right. I hope that answers your questions. 514-800 to text in or 514-790-0800. Maître Linda Hammerschmidt, family law attorney, joins us as she does every month, the last Thursday of every month, to answer your questions. So free legal advice until 11 p.m. here on Passion.
The following program contains mature subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Whether you need to learn how to talk or something more hands-on, she can help. Passion with Dr. Lori.
Maître Linda Hammerschmidt in studio with me tonight answering your legal questions about divorce, separation, custody, common law, all of that stuff. So in response to the woman who wrote in about the duplex, she says, I know I was stupid and accepted and signed on for 1% of the value.
I'm sure you weren't stupid, but you were
ill-informed.
Well, that's a good one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or too trusting.
Yeah. Well, here, Dr. Lori, you're great, and your guest seems awesome. And
thank
to answer
you.
Your question, things are going sour. Have a
okay,
good night.
Okay. Well,
I'm not so happy.
Before that really goes bad, get naked, go in the bathtub, take a glass of wine, and get him to go to the notary.
Oh yeah. Okay. That's no. I'm not with
whatever
her. I'm not with her on that.
It's cheaper. Than what I'd have to do
except
to him.
Except that at this point, if things are going sour, I highly doubt they're going to end up, he's going to want to go to the notary. Is there a legal age when we could stop paying child support? That's a question I think we get every single month.
Okay. There is no legal aid in this province.
Legal age.
Yeah, there's no legal aid either. Legal age to stop paying child support, by definition in the Divorce Act, assuming you're married, it's either when the child is till 16, but if the child is not financially autonomous and is still going to school, you will be paying, and the custom, although it's not written down in the legislation, is that parents usually want their children to go to university at least one degree. Now, if they're going to take basket weaving, one course a term.
What if it's trade school or what if it's...
A trade school, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want your child to get a trade so that they become financially autonomous?
Right, anything to help them
and
become...
And move out of the house.
Right.
Anyway, and if you are not married but have children, then the age is 18... when they turn 18. However, that doesn't mean you're off the hook either, because again, the child could still be going to school and not financially autonomous. However, at that point in time, any proceedings that are taken have to also involve the adult child. So they have to be served as either a mise en cause, or they too can take proceedings against their parents.
Interesting, because at 16, I don't know how many 16-year-olds you know that are financially independent. I don't.
Mark Zuckerberg. Not,
well, yeah. Well, not in this day and age. Yeah. Now we're seeing studies of people, leaving the nest until their 30s.
Or worse, coming back after
coming
they're getting
back.
Divorced.
Right. Well, no, even coming back after not finding jobs after university, So legally, there's really, it's understood.
And it just doesn't stop because they graduated from their university degree. You actually have to get a judgment, either but with the consent of the other person and the child in question, or by a court order, that it stops. Because if you just stop paying and you don't eradicate that judgment, basically you're collecting arrears that somebody, if they're not nice, could actually use against you down the road. Mm. And then you'll be in a surprise.
Hmm. All right. I'm divorced 4 years. When we were married, we had a premium joint credit card, which we got based on his salary. I was only working part-time while married. When we split, the balance was very high, and it still is today. The charges were his, which I can prove, but my name is linked to the account and has affected my credit rating. Do I have any recourse at all to have my name removed? I have no debts, own my own condo, and am financially secure.
Okay, but they're already divorced, so I don't know if there was a consent signed in which usually one party assumes some of the debts, somebody assumes that it's written down who's going to pay what and why, okay. And I don't know why that wasn't done, or if it was done and not being respected. So you might have to go back to court under your divorce judgment and ask for them, ask for a lump sum to pay it off from him, assuming he's still working, so that you can get your credit rating back and or damages.
So it would be to really, they would have to pay this off and get another credit card
because the banks and the credit card companies, they're just happy to have more people in. Needed.
Well, they don't care.
Exactly. They're not going to give up anybody.
So if she's jointly on a credit card, she has to consent to being on that.
No.
No?
No. You can issue a, I can issue a credit card, a second credit card for you.
On your name.
I'm not going to give it to you, though. Don't make those eyes at me. I'm not. I'm just not.
So, but this person says, yes, it was in the agreement. So
they're not respecting the agreements. You have to go back and ask for them to be penalized as a result by paying off whatever the balance is and having the card canceled.
So really, that's what she has to ask for. Have the damn card canceled.
Yeah.
Because you can keep using
it. I don't know what the high balance is, but you could investigate the possibility of taking a small claims court action against the person where you won't have to necessarily get a lawyer or anything. And sue him for the amount of money to pay off.
So similarly,
be creative.
I want to ask you about this because I know, let's say, this woman, she is planning to leave her husband, but she's planning her exit strategy. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, and he has control of all the money. She hasn't worked. She's been a stay-at-home mom and what have you, but he spends an enormous amount, has debt everywhere, mm-hmm. buying all kinds of stuff, not caring at all that. Whatever, he doesn't, he's accruing all this debt. When
start selling it on eBay.
Well, she doesn't have the titles to these things, but let's just say, okay, he's all this credit card debt, like tons of credit card debt. When she finally goes to the divorce, she can prove that these were not purchases she made, that they were purchases he made. What is her responsibility?
Again, is there a marriage contract involved?
I believe.
So she is technically responsible for
his debt.
Half of it anyway. However, inside of the divorce, she's going to ask for an amount of money, that either be ordered to pay it off and assume that debt, or that she get a lump sum so that she can pay it off. There's always some way around it.
But she gets stuck with half the debt. Even though
judge orders him to pay it or takes money from something that's his and gives it to her to pay it, or somehow it gets paid, or he doesn't get as much from the family patrimony because of this debt, so on and so forth.
Because you can really get screwed by a very irresponsible partner who knows this, right? Who says, I know that this relationship is ending, therefore I'm going to start spending all this money because she gets to spend half.
If people had talked at the beginning, like I said, then they would know they're irresponsible and they wouldn't have signed up in the first place.
Okay, but hold on a second. Let's say they had even signed a prenup or what have you. It doesn't affect the fact that, this guy is spending all kinds of money.
Yeah, but it didn't happen yesterday. This has been going on for apparently years, correct?
Except more so now because I think there's a sensation, the sense that, I think my
wife's
going
to leave me. Is this person also on the credit card?
I believe so.
Go and take a cash advance. Top up the limit.
So I think the partner maxed out everything out. So anyway, so really your look like now tells me, oh God, screwed.
Well,
this person writes,
there are brick assets like the house and the whatever like this, some of the stuff can be offset that way by getting a bigger share of something else in compensation.
Yeah, but you have to prove that debt's not yours. Like you're going to have to go before a judge and make sure the judge...
Statements listing
so
what's
find
been
all
bought.
The statements.
Now, if some of it is for renovations on the house or you bought furniture for the house or whatever, that's not going to cut it. But if it was to buy a Maserati that only is in your... Well, not even, because that's family patrimony. So if it was to buy a painting... a Gauguin painting, but he didn't really pay for it because it's on a credit card. Then you're going to be able to say, well, he wants the painting. He has to take the debt that goes with it. Or give me the painting and I'll sell it and pay the debt.
Right. Okay. Things can get super messy and super complicated. That's the message in all of this. So clarify before anything, at least to get as much clarity as possible ahead of time. 514-800-514-7900-800 to call in if you have questions for Maître Linda Hammerschmidt, our legal hour here on Passion.
This is Passion with Dr. Lori.
Tonight on the program, last little leg of the show, Maître Linda Hammerschmidt joins us to answer your questions. So, okay, we've got a few things here. I've tripled my income and she makes less since we divorced a year ago. Do I have to pay her more now? We share our kids week on, week off. I happily pay for the extra activities and 60% of life expenses. Do we redo the support payment each year?
Is the support payment in reference to just the children or to also her? If it's about the children, then yes, he has to divulge his triple income increase.
Mm-hmm.
And the child support determination form has to be redone and reset.
Because it's a calculation ultimately, right? It's just something, numbers that you plug in.
The Supreme Court of Canada has been very clear a number of years ago in four cases out of Alberta that fathers, in most cases, who did not disclose that they had been earning significantly higher revenue than at the time when either consents or a judgment of divorce was rendered and didn't share that information, were penalized with retroactive judgments back, some of them going 4 or 5 years, because the children shouldn't be penalized by not living in the standard at both parents' home, the similar standards.
Okay.
Now, if it's spousal support, then it's also going to depend on what else she got in the divorce.
Right.
Like lump sums or some other capital amount and how that affects if she signed off on a term, I don't know. But for the children, for sure, he has to disclose, and it's not good not to do that.
Okay. So, and yes, every year you can redo that if your situation changes.
Yeah.
Right.
Either way, because if it gets worse, you can also
You
go
can
back.
Reduce that too. So, you know, we were talking earlier about an soon-to-be ex-spouse who is racking up the credit card bills. This texter writes, what you're talking about right now is exactly what happened to me. I have a feeling this happens a lot.
Most likely.
Yeah. I think it's quite common, unfortunately. Texter writes,
which is all the more reason why you should have a prenup. Right.
See, this person is saying, the same person wrote, who's now making much more money, says, I'd rather place extra earnings towards better schooling. But you don't get to choose where you place those extra earnings. Isn't there, like, there's still a law, legal formula that
has
to be followed.
There's a basic support, and then there's the extra special expenses support, on which usually post-secondary education falls, and tuition and orthodontry and all that fun stuff. And so, yeah, you don't get to pay that. You don't make those choices.
Right.
You could offer, though.
Right.
As a negotiating thing.
Right. But it's not. But you can't make the choice. So when the other texter wrote
in, for example, you can always say, well, I should be paying, let's pull a number out of the air, $2,500 a month now. However, I'm paying $30,000 for LCC or whatever. So I want to keep my support as it was based on the lesser income, but I happily will pay all of LCC for however many kids there are, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Right. So you can negotiate.
And you can negotiate. You can also actually offer that in your proceeding.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. So the texter wrote in about the guy who makes triple now. He, not that one. Let me just see where that is. Yes, he makes more. We do the child support. 4 years on spousal. You were asking, was it just child support or was it spousal? And he says 4 years on spousal.
4 years meaning there's a term?
That I don't know.
What's 4 years mean?
Yeah, I have no idea. It sounds like there's a term. So
still have time to
I'm
type.
Not sure. Yeah, a little bit of time. What if the mother or father ends up getting married? What age does the child support stop?
Again, it has nothing to do with whether people are getting married or not married. It's based on what you earn, what the other parent earns, put it together, spit it out in a formula, and that's what you have to pay.
Okay.
Depending on also influenced by the amount of access each parent has with the child.
Exactly. What is the procedure to have your name changed legally? So in Quebec, we do not take on our husband's name. There's a thing in the law that says you keep your name. I know.
Change it legally to what?
Because
you have a
change
name.
To change it legally to your husband's name.
You're not going to hear.
But there's a way to do it. You could still
change. You're not going to change your name to his name legally. You're Jane Doe, born and dying the same.
Jane Doe.
And you can be known as whatever. And if you want to really have somebody else's name, move to the States.
But you can do it. I know people who have done it legally. You can ask for a name change, a legal name change.
Yes, but you have to have good reasons. It's not because you want to carry your husband's name that that's a good reason. And why would you want to? Because 50% of the time you're going to get divorced. You're going to just have to change it back.
Geez. But you know, this is the only place we don't, though. Everywhere
and good
else,
for us, because why do we have to be like everybody else? I like your name. You like your name. What do you have to change your name for?
I wouldn't have changed it anyway, but yes. Yeah. It makes it simpler for children's
there's a difference where if you have, for example, transsexual change status and you want to be, you went from Albert and you want to be Alice, that's something else. But
But just because you want to take on your husband's name, not good enough. Okay. Although I thought you could do it. Do you have to prove a good reason? Can it not just be desire?
I'm assuming that this person is still married to that
person? I don't
know.
I'm saying
some people say, I'm known as, usually was the older school people, I'm known as Mrs. Dragnet, but I'm divorced, but I still want to be called Mrs. Dragnet. You'll sign your checks like Mrs. Dragnet all the time. But if he doesn't, but your real name is Finkelstein, so you want to be known legally as Mrs. Dragnet, maybe Mr. Dragnet's going to have something to say to that about that.
And does he?
Yeah. Why? You're not allowed to miss. Yeah,
well, can he force you to change your name back to your maiden name?
You never changed it.
Well, this is post-law.
And he
changed.
And he might be able to stop you from using his name.
Okay. There you go. You might be able to stop her. Or him. Her, actually. Okay.
Them.
Last question. My mother is divorced and now has remarried. The man she married is divorced as well. Lately, we are hearing that if he does not have a will, then the ex-wife is entitled to his pension. Who is technically entitled to his pension?
Is the same problem that we talked about last month with that lady who found out after 41 years of living and married that he never really got divorced from the first one.
That's right.
And so it was the...
But here, everybody's divorced. You have like 10 seconds left to answer this question.
No.
The answer is no?
I don't know.
You got nervous all of a sudden?
No, I'm not nervous.
Who's technically entitled to his pension? The new wife or the ex-wife?
It depends on what the old divorce said.
Ah, okay.
Maybe.
Look at those divorce
papers. There's many factors to involve. You can't do that. No 10-second answers
here. All right. We'll come back to it next time. Thank you very much, Maître Linda Hammerschmidt. We always love having you. And thank you to all our texters and phone calls. Lots of texts tonight. Thank you to our technical producer, Dave Simon. And if you want to get in touch with me, you can through social media, my Twitter and Facebook and Instagram handle at Dr. Lori Betito, B-E-T-I-T-O. You can find Linda Hammerschmidt there too. On Facebook.
She's quite
active.
At the end of next month.
And we'll see you at the end of next month. Right now, coming up, the CJAD Comedy Show. Wishing you a wonderful rest of the evening. And remember, fill your life with passion.